only three or four more messages, and before Christmas we will have done what we can do to cover most of the book. So for those of you who are visiting this morning, I apologise because there's a lot of background to what we're sharing here today. But this morning we've reached Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And this thing just doesn't want to. Thanks, Ken. Only a small passage of scripture this morning. You've been sitting for quite a while. Why don't we stand and just read God's word together? Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. Let's read together. But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Father, there's some really deep stuff in this book, and this is another area that is so relevant for every single one of us, because every day there is a war going on in our minds and our hearts. And I pray that you'll help us not only to understand that this is the way it is, but to understand that there is a way to be overcomers of our flesh. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who has come, and I pray that you'll really encourage us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, in the bulletin that you received, there should be an outline of the message. And if you need a pencil, just to fill in as you go along, that might help you. Just slip your hand up and we're happy to get a pencil to you. Now, the last time we were in Galatians, two or three weeks ago, we learned from Galatians 5:13-15, the good news that God has called us to freedom. In verse 13 it says, you were called to freedom, so through love be servants of one another. I don't think that as Christ followers we have any option but to love one another extravagantly. One of my friends in Canada, his little thing that he puts at the bottom of his email every time he signs off, this is one of the things, is to, he's got three or four of them, but one of them is love extravagantly. And I need to be reminded of that constantly, because I don't always feel like loving other people extravagantly. I don't know what it is, but lots of other things seem to get in the way. And when I'm feeling tired, or ill, or, well, there's lots of things I feel that mitigate against that. You shall love your neighbour as yourself, the Bible says. So we learnt that freedom for the Christian is that when we've learned to love others with the same enthusiasm as we love ourselves, then that is true freedom. That is true freedom. And we also learn that we can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Spirit of God living in us that makes this possible. And we say, how on earth can we do, how can we carry on this war that's going on between the flesh and the spirit? And here there's an answer in verses 16 to 18. And Paul just puts it simply in verse 16. The answer is, walk by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 says the same thing. Walk according to the Spirit. Having come to Christ through the Holy Spirit, through faith, now learn to keep in step with the Spirit. That's very different from living by a whole set of rules. And we've learnt that the Galatians, the Judaizers, those people from Jerusalem, were trying to lay a really heavy legalistic burden on the part of these new Christians in Galatia. They hadn't experienced what it was to walk by the Spirit. And I quote my favourite author again, who I've actually drawn on quite heavily for this message today. Actually, it's interesting. I know a lot of you read John Piper, but just in this last week's Christianity Explained, it's becoming more and more evident that John Piper is emerging as one of the great evangelical leaders of our day through his writings and his sermons. And we can thank God for men like this. He's just put out a new book called Think. And he's a man who has a great desire that we Christians would learn to use this as well as this. And God has gifted him greatly. But he said this on this subject: people who try to love without relying on God's Spirit always wind up trying to fill their own emptiness rather than sharing their fullness. I shared this the other day, but let me say it again. People who try to love without relying on God's Spirit always wind up trying to fill their own emptiness instead of sharing their fullness. Now, do you know the really, really good news is you can't love anybody? That's good news. I can't love anybody. God wants to love others through us. He really does. And so Paul says the only way that's going to happen is if you learn to walk by the Spirit. In the leadership training that Helen and I are enthusiastically involved in around the world, in one of the workshops, we talk about the six magic men. You've heard of the six magic men, haven't you? Who are the six magic men? I got a good school teacher sitting in front of me here. Who, what, when, where, how, and why? Depending which stool you went to, the order may vary. So I've sort of put my little message this morning around three of those magic men, and that will be what, why, and how. What is this walking by the Spirit? Why is it imperative to walk by the Spirit? And practically, how can we walk by the Spirit? So what is walking in the Spirit? There are two images in the context which I think shed light on this idea of what it means to walk in the Spirit. And the first one is in verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, if Paul had said, if you follow the Spirit, you are not under the law, it would have been true, but actually he's using the passive voice here. It's if you are led by the Spirit. So he's emphasizing the work of the Holy Spirit, not our own work. The Spirit is not a leader like, hey, it's Bathurst today. I wonder if it's raining in Bathurst. So they're all up on the mountain. Half the churches in Sydney are empty today because all the men have gone to Bathurst. I know, that's true. It's terrible, really, but it's true. But what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit is not a leader like the pace car in like the Bathurst race today or the Phillip Island supercar race or whatever. He's actually a leader more like a locomotive on a train. And he's the force, he's the power that is leading the way. And we are led in power. So walk by the Spirit means that we have to stay hooked up to that divine source of power. And then God can love other people through us. The next image is in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. And we're going to deal with that next week in a bit more detail. So if our walk is to be love, joy, and peace, according to Galatians 5:22, we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And it won't be an effort. We won't have to roar so that, you know, some apple pops out the end of our arm. But it's as we walk and we're connected to the Holy Spirit, the natural thing is for us, like a fruit tree. I picked a green papaya yesterday, Nikki. And for the first time in my life, I made a green papaya salad. And it was pretty potent, but quite nice. But those that pawpaw tree, when I'm out looking at my vegetable patch, I don't hear it going, trying to produce fruit. I've just been watching it over the last little while, and naturally, especially this year, if you've got pawpaw, you'll know that with all the rain we've had, it's been the best year for papaya that we've had for years. And some of my trees that have never borne fruit have got little green fruits on them this year, and I'm excited about that. But the tree does it quite effortlessly. It draws the water up, it draws the nutrients up, and the fruit forms. And this is a picture of how God wants Christ followers to be, as we are attached to the divine source, to the locomotive. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit. It should be quite effortless. Abide in me. This is the other image, of course. In John 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." So walk by the Spirit also means abide in me. Stay attached to the vine. Keep yourself securely united to Christ. Don't cut yourself off from the flow of the Holy Spirit. So the answer to our first question is, what's this walking in the Spirit? Is first of all, be led by the Spirit and bear fruit by the Spirit. And the work of the Spirit is emphasized. It's not something we can do ourselves. This is an enigma, though, because our wills are deeply involved. We must be coupled to the source of power, and that's a choice we make every day. I've got a lot of questions for the Lord when I get to heaven about this whole thing of freedom of will and His sovereignty. I don't understand it all, but I know that in this case, our wills are deeply involved. It's not a passive thing that we just lie and hope that He'll do it. He wants us to be actively involved with His Spirit. So we must abide in the vine. The second question is, why is it crucial to walk in the Spirit? And the text gives two reasons, one again in verse 16 and one in verse 18. In verse 16, the incentive for walking by the Spirit is that when we do this, we won't be fulfilling or gratifying the desires of our flesh. One actually, according to this, cancels out the other. This is very, very wonderful. The NASB puts it this way, "I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." So the first reason why we should walk in the Spirit is that we can overcome the flesh, the old nature, this way. Now, in recent messages, we've tried to define the flesh not as necessarily this body, although that's one New Testament way of looking at it, not the physical part of it, but I believe Paul is talking about the ego, the self that wants to assert itself, is what he's talking about here when he talks about the flesh. In Galatians 5:24, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts." And of course the answer comes in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ." This morning we've celebrated the Lord's table again. There are many traditions all around the world where people come week by week to remember the death of Christ. And so often when we do this, we remember He died to take away my sins. He died for my salvation. But brothers and sisters, there's more than that. Because Paul teaches over and over again that when Jesus died on the cross, if you are a Christ follower, then you died with Him. And you will be raised with Him in order to live a new life. So here Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." So important to understand this. So the flesh is the ego, which feels an emptiness, but at the same time loathes the idea of satisfying that emptiness by faith alone. That's the characteristic of the flesh. And that's why Paul speaks about faith over and over again. We are to depend on the absolute mercy of God. And then he gives us the power to fill that emptiness that's in our hearts. Romans 8 says, "The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law." So the basic characteristic of the flesh is that it is unsubmissive. It doesn't want to submit to God's absolute authority. It's like that old song, "I'd rather do it my way." So verse 17 now comes and talks about a war that's going on between the flesh and God's spirit. It's a very lively war that is going on. And you say, well, if I've been crucified with Christ, when I came to know Christ as my Saviour and I died with him, why am I still in a war? I'm going to talk a bit more about that in a moment. In our class this morning, we were talking about the fact that for many people who claim to be Christian, when we talk about spiritual war, it just doesn't register. It doesn't mean much to many people. Why is it important to walk in the Spirit? The first thing is that God's Spirit conquers our flesh. Let me just quote again from Piper. "The sign of whether you are indwelt by the Spirit is not that you have no desires that are bad, but that you are at war with them." Some Christians think, you know, I've come to Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in me, so all my desires should be holy, and how come I've got all these unholy desires? And can be very, very frustrated. But I think the wonderful thing to know is that even the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he said, "I'm the worst of sinners." And the closer he got to Jesus, the closer he got to the holiness of God, the more he saw how weak and sinful he was. So don't be discouraged this morning. You know, sometimes we set such high standards. Now, I think probably the church needs to raise its standards considerably in our day. But I think sometimes we get so... For example, in Timothy and Titus, there are lists about qualifications for deacons. And I used to look at those and say, or for an elder, I could never be an elder in a church. I don't fulfill that. But I think what Paul's talking about here is the desire that's in our heart. We're in a war that's going on constantly. We're going to fall and slip up. But if deep down my desire is to be like Jesus and to grow, and that is my goal, to become like him, then that should be encouraging. So don't be discouraged if you feel that you're bad and you feel that you're not winning. The very fact that you feel that way means that God has quickened your conscience and that you desire to be like Jesus. So friends, be encouraged this morning and keep going. The other issue is that God's Spirit is the one that creates that fruit, and we've already talked about that this morning. You remember some weeks ago we talked about the Judaizers who were setting up their whole way of religion, and it was like they had to set up their own ladder to heaven in order to climb up that ladder themselves. And this is totally against what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the fact that when the Spirit comes in, we will love other people. It's interesting when you come to Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all the other things. You can analyse, you could actually say that there's only one fruit, really, and that's love. And all the other things that come out of that flow out of love. We'll talk about that next week. So the Spirit is actually the fullness that flows out of our lives in love. And it conquers that emptiness of our flesh, of our natural desire, and it fills out in acts of love to other people. And we're now so involved in blessing and loving other people that we don't have time to think about the flesh. Now the important one is, the $64 question is, how do you walk by the Spirit? And this is the final point today. How do we walk by the Spirit? You've heard me say plenty of times, you've heard lots of other preachers say, just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Or allow the Spirit to control you, and you go away puzzled, thinking, what on earth is he talking about? Because it sounds really good on Sunday morning, but the moment I've had lunch, and I get angry with my little kid, or I get to work tomorrow morning and someone says something that's really hurtful, it just, how does this really work practically? How do you let the Spirit control you? And again, when I get to this point in a message on this subject, I usually quote A.W. Tozer. But today, as I said, I've drawn heavily on John Piper, and I'm actually going to give you the five suggestions that he gives. And I think if you listen carefully, you'll discover that these are very practical, and with these I'm going to finish this morning. Five-fold suggestion. First, from Galatians 5:6. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. So what Paul is saying is that genuine faith produces love, because faith actually pushes out guilt and fear and greed, and it gives us an appetite for the glory of God. So love is what necessarily produces that fruit in our, the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts. And that way we have to walk by the Spirit by faith. That's actually resting on the promises of God. And those promises become like a pipeline that flows through our life. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you again this morning to memorize Scripture. I've been doing this again for the last couple of years, and this week I've got them all on my little iPhone. And if I've got just a couple of minutes waiting for an appointment, waiting for someone to come, I get them out, and I've got many promises. And every time I remind myself of the promises of God, I am so encouraged. This is, again, this issue of where the will comes in. If I do that, God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's true. So let me encourage you. In the middle of the day at work, when you're frustrated with all the thing that's gone wrong at work and people are right up your nose and everything else, just take 5 minutes, get away quietly, and look at those promises of God, and you will be so encouraged. The second one is in Galatians 5:5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. How do we wait for Jesus through the Spirit? Well, according to Paul, it's by faith. We started by faith, and we depend on him. We walk in faith every single day. And it's similar to the first point. Piper always talks about this Christian hedonism, being happy in God. And he says, this is the only way to be happy in God, is to rest on his promises. And it's very practical. The third thing is to look at Galatians 3:23. Now, before faith came, we were confined under the law. So we've seen through Galatians that the coming of faith is what liberates people from the law. But 5:18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So again, how can you be led by the Spirit? According to Paul, it's by faith, by meditating on the trustworthiness and the preciousness of God through his promises. It's the Word of God. There's no other hope for us. This is the only thing that doesn't shift in this world that's shifting all the time. That's why when I open up and I read the promise of God, I think the whole world's swirling around me. I'm getting old and I can't cope with change very much. But the world is changing so much, but this never changes. Because God never changes. He's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. God himself declares, I am the Lord, I change not. And brothers and sisters, we need to plug into him who doesn't change. It's the only way. The fourth thing is in Galatians 3:5, and this is probably the clearest of all. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of law or by the hearing of faith? So the Spirit does his mighty work, according to Paul here, through the hearing of faith. We talk about, in the book of Galatians, we are justified by faith. We are declared not guilty in God's presence by faith. But Paul is saying you are also sanctified. You are made holy. You are brought closer to Jesus by faith. It's not by any effort on our own part. All the fretting in the world won't free us from guilt. It's only the mercy of God and the grace of God. And that's how the Holy Spirit leads us and fills us. And then the final one is in Galatians 2:20, which we've already talked about. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So day by day, Paul is trusting in the Son. He's trusting in Jesus. And every day, he's casting all his cares on God. And his life is free from guilt and greed and all those other things. So how do we walk by the Spirit? According to what we've seen this morning, and what Piper says, is we stop trying to fill the emptiness of our lives with 100 pieces of the world and put our souls at rest in God. Amen. Resting on those unspeakable promises. So we've got a promise here of renewal every day in our lives. And you can look at some other verses there. Now you'll see on the little sheet that I've given you this morning a wheel. We might call this the balance wheel. That's your life. And I've just, for example, given a few areas of your life. Personal health, finances, marriage and family, knowing and using my spiritual gift, my employment, recreation, community involvement, loving your neighbour, the church life. So what I'd encourage you to do in the next 30 seconds is take a pencil and just fill in what percentage, to what percentage am I satisfied that the Holy Spirit is leading me in each of these areas? And just do a little test for yourself, just between you and the Lord. And if there happens to be a big gap, if there's a 50% only in one of them, then take that home this week and bring it before the Lord and ask him, Lord, I really need help at work. My personal health's a mess. I need to rely on you there. My family, I'm really struggling in my family. I need you. So the question is, am I following the leading of the Holy Spirit in these major areas of my life? Let you just take a few seconds to do that personally with the Lord this morning. you didn't have a pencil or you haven't done this, I really encourage you to take this home and don't dwell on it for half an hour. I can tell you, you'll get confused. Just try and do it in about 30 seconds. Just how you're feeling about these areas. Galatians 5:25 says this, "Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every area of our lives." Let's pray together.